Well, when it comes to the importance of journaling or leaving behind some sort of written record of their lives, people usually say the same thing. Oh, who would want to read that? Or, I don't have much to say. Journaling, indeed memoir writing, actually provides a variety of health and wellness benefits as well. One way to tell your story is through the six-word memoir. The inspiration for six-word memoirs comes from the courtesy of a legend about Ernest Hemingway. As the story goes, Hemingway was once challenged to tell a story in six words. He came up with this. For sale. Baby shoes. Never worn. Whether six words or 60 pages, memoirs are a profound and creative way to think about your life, your surroundings, your reality, and ultimately, yourself. And you can be an integral part of this preserving life stories led by Maria Canfield and Lisa Petroselli of Your Words, Your Story, as they share this informative and engaging presentation on creating your personal memoirs. Through exercises and discussions, participants will learn techniques and tips for journaling memoirs. Offered by the Historic Bethlehem Museum and sites, the Preserving Life Stories workshop will be held July 1st at the Moravian Single Sisters House. Lindsay Jansay, Director of Collections and Programming of Historic Bethlehem, will share the inspiration for the exciting new Single Sisters series. This is WDIY 88.1 Lehigh Valley Public Radio, Allentown, and you are listening to Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. I remain George Miller, and along with my wife and co-host Kate Scuffle, we chat today with Marie Canfield and with Lisa Petroselli of Your Words and Your Story, and then with Lindsay Jansay from Historic Bethlehem Museums and Sites. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hello.
It's great to have you guys here. We were talking a little bit before the show, and maybe the best way to start off is to talk about, you mentioned the difference between an autobiography and a memoir.
Yes. An autobiography is really a person's life from start to finish, from birth to death, covering every major aspect. A memoir is fundamentally different. It focuses on those key events or happenings that were of most significance to the person. And while an autobiography is very factual, it's not that a memoir isn't truthful, but it is told through the lens of the teller. So there is the perspective of the person who is the memoirist is really important in creating that format. So there's a tint to the lens that doesn't often appear in autobiographies. The main difference, though, is that they are focused on those things that are of most significance to the teller.
So, could one suggest that perhaps they're short stories?
They certainly could be. It could be a series of short stories tied together. It doesn't need to be in chronological order, as Maria said. It could be stories from childhood, stories from adolescence, stories from adulthood, all kind of woven together.
And what drew the two of you to form, I mean, Your Words, Your Story? Would you frame this as, I mean, you're leading the workshop, and we'll talk a little bit about the workshop. Do you think of yourselves as coaches, teachers, and why memoir? What drew you to this and to each other to form the company?
Yes, that's a great question. Lisa and I have known each other for over 20 years. We worked together in corporate America in managing call centers, managing client relationships, a lot of project management. And I left that world several years ago and moved for a time that I now think of as an interlude to Florida, and decided to do what I always wanted to do, what I was always best at, I thought, which is writing. So I kicked off a freelance writing career, did a lot of different things in a lot of different arenas, and then sort of fell into the writing of memoirs and autobiographies. And when I moved back to this area and was telling Lisa about my processes, she realized that I didn't really have very good processes. I would talk to my clients and I'd scribble and I'd write and they'd edit. And so we decided that we could really do something that was much more efficient. Yeah. We could reach many more people by using technology, by using processes. And so together, late last fall, we started creating this company and reaching out to organizations and people and using teaching as part of that to get our message across. So I guess we're teachers when we're presenting. Mm-hmm. I think of myself as a writer more than anything. Mm-hmm. I don't. You can say how you think of yourself.
I kind of think of myself as a facilitator, trying to really customize interviews and using questions that really draw out stories from people's lives and get them thinking and prompting memories. So facilitator is kind of how I see myself.
And so if I come to the workshop on Sunday, which I'm thinking Please about
do.
Doing... How does that, what's the experience like for the student or the person meeting you two for the first time and thinking I can't begin to write a memoir? It's just beyond me.
Sure. So we create what we feel is a very welcoming environment. It's a workshop that has a lot of interaction and participation, but no one is forced to share anything they don't want to share. The exercises remain private, but we do encourage everyone to participate in the discussion, and we find that most people do. Mm-hmm. We have some exercises, and we kick off with some things that prompt reminiscence among the audience, and everyone seems to like that. And you know, we discuss things like what is a memoir and what a memoir isn't. You know, how to overcome the biggest obstacle to creating your memoir, tips to jumpstart your memory. Many people feel they can't remember, but we disagree. you know, just a lot of hands-on exercises that get people started down the path.
Would you say that a lot of the memories that we can conjure up in thinking about writing our memoir or a memoir is of childhood experiences?
Yes, we've found with our clients that they begin to remember things from their childhood that they had no intention of even trying to remember. They thought they were going to focus on something else completely. But then all of these memories... just sort of well up. We have one client, very successful gentleman who is in his mid-80s now, and he was reflecting on a time in his youth when he disappointed his mother, and his mother was the most important person in his life ever, and just thinking about how he disappointed her when he was a teenager, he began to cry. Yeah. And he probably hadn't thought of that for a long time, and I think it took him a while, as he was telling me, to try to put it into perspective about why it still bothered him after 70 years, but it goes back to the respect and the love he had for his mother. So we see that all the time, that things that are really impactful but have maybe been held down come to the forefront.
Yeah, this I mentioned at in the preface about Hemingway and his six-word thing, for sale, baby shoes never worn.
Yes.
A lot is being said there.
Oh, yes.
A full, at least a page and a half could be written about that.
Mm-hmm. Although most of your clients or folks coming to a workshop or someone interested in a memoir for family and friends, they aren't trying to be Hemingway, correct? This isn't necessarily I'm writing something that I'm taking on as a literary project that's going to be...
Right.
Exactly. And, you know, not every memoir is written. We also talk about audio memoirs, preserving your voice truly in your voice. You know, we hear about people who've lost a loved one and they maintain voice messages so they can keep that person's voice alive. Mm-hmm. Well, here's a different way to do that, an audio memoir.
Wonderful.
And to most folks that you're working with, is that a conscious choice? Is this something to share with family, friends, a sense of preserving legacy?
Yes. I think especially with our older clients, you know, they think about the mortality. They worry that what they've done will be lost to future generations. Mm-hmm. And especially once they have grandchildren, you know, sometimes I think they think their children know the basics of their life, but as the generations go by, there's a fear of that being lost. And so we see that we see that a lot.
Yeah. I mean, memoirs really are the closest we can get to immortality, right? It's a way for us to speak to future generations who we might not ever get an opportunity to meet, but who can know about us and know about our experiences and our stories through memoir.
It seems like then that doing this with historic Bethlehem and at the Single Sisters House is really kind of a beautiful fit.
Yes, it we're is. Very appreciative and grateful.
And how did that come about? Is this the first time you've created a workshop with Historic Bethlehem geared towards memoir? Or?
Well, we actually created the workshop, and we've given the workshop in other places, mm-hmm. but Historic Bethlehem Museums and Sites actually reached out to us when they saw what we were doing, and we're in discussions about doing some memoir-type projects with them as an organization. And as part of those discussions, we learned about the Single Sisters House series. We talked about the workshop that we offer, and we both agreed that it was a perfect fit.
So obviously, as I would ask the doctor if he ever broke his arm, I would ask a memoirist, have you written your memoirs?
Yes, we have. we thought it would be a good thing to do, and we have, yes. Yes.
And do you guide people? Did you do self-publication? Did you write it down? Were they oral? Were they recorded? I'm just curious.
Yeah, mine was written. Okay. I didn't share it with anyone else. It just focused on certain aspects of my life as a young adult. And it's great to have. But going through the process, and even as someone who now makes a living writing, realizing that it can still be daunting, you know, even though I have a logical mind and all right. of that and some stick-to-itiveness. So it gave me an appreciation of how people, you know, might resist trying this because it is a big challenge.
Is that part of what you hope students take away from Sunday, feeling braver or less afraid?
Absolutely.
Yes. You know, we'll get people over that first hump, the hardest part.
And then we do talk about resources, and a resource for them is obviously our company. Because there are some people who they might be able to bring up the memories, but they just really don't like to write. They might not have the time. Mm-hmm. So we have interviews that are recorded, and then we write a nicely flowing, mm-hmm. formatted, very readable manuscript from their utterances.
Right. We make it very, very easy. We kind of take all the hard work out, the organization, mm-hmm. and just let our clients focus on their memories and their stories and not worry about any of the details.
That's really lovely, actually. It would be a lovely gift to give to someone.
It yes. would, absolutely.
Yeah. Yes, and not necessarily for publication for the world to read,
right,
at least to the family, so we can share our stories and hold them in our minds and in our voices.
Right. Absolutely. That really is the intent. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and I'm very much interested in what you're doing, of course. And this has been apparently a love of yours to not only offer this to other people, but to see some things that other people have written as well. And maybe everyone's technique is a little different, is
mm-hmm.
it not?
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. We read a number of memoirs as part of this. I'm reading one now by a man named Rick Bragg. It's called All Over But the Shouting, and it's about his hard scrabble upbringing in Alabama and his love for his mother, sort of coincidentally, based on what I had talked about before. So, mm-hmm. you know, every memoir has a unique flavor, because everybody is different. Yeah. They're really fascinating to delve into.
Thank you for what you're doing. It's very important, I think, for our culture, for our society. We shall learn more about this historically rooted bricks and mortar programming series dedicated to women and about Single Sisters House, one of the first places, incidentally, where women could receive a true education in the colonies. We'll continue our adventure after this salient moment. Thank you.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
For program support on WDIY, we thank the Baum School of Art, 510 Linden Street, Allentown, enriching lives through arts education for the past 90 years. Classes in art, design, and fashion for children, teens, and adults. For more information, baumschool.org or 610-433-0032.
You're listening to Lehigh Valley Art Salon, WDIY 88.1, Lehigh Valley Public Radio, where you will always have many choices and real voices. We're chatting now with Lindsay Jansay, the Director of Collections and Programming for Historic Bethlehem. Welcome, Lindsay.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And thank you for this wonderful series. It's in its second year, I understand, the Single Sister series.
Yes. So this is the second year that we are presenting the Single Sister series. It's a series that's inspired by the women who lived in the Single Sister's house continuously through until 2007. And we're really happy this year to be sponsored by FIG. FIG Bethlehem is our exclusive sponsor for the program, and that's been really helpful to kind of spread the word.
I would suggest to our listeners, too, that FIG has a wonderful interview and piece about the Single Sister's House, which dates back to 1744, and the original Moravian settlement in Bethlehem, and reflected the Moravian lifestyle, way of structuring a community, in this case, the Single Sister's Choir.
Yes, yes. So the choir system with Moravians enabled unmarried women to live together in the single sister's house. They could help support each other, create a safe, nurturing, work-living environment. Mm-hmm. And that's such a special history for that building. And that's why we do celebrate the fact that it's a historically rooted women's programming series. So this program is really catering to women in the Lehigh Valley. It's talking about things that not only are challenging for women here, but also things to celebrate, including great business leaders, artists, innovators, and the like.
Seems like a wonderful opportunity not only to support women in their work, but for networking.
Absolutely.
And continuing the mission of the house. And something as wonderful as your words and your story working there to help, because women's stories also, I would suspect, may be a little more likely to get lost sometimes than men's.
Yeah. Well, it does have a really nice tie-in, too, with the early Moravians and their practice of memoir writing. Mm-hmm. We're very grateful and lucky to have access to some of the memoirs of women who lived in Bethlehem or in the U.S. with Moravian communities, thankfully due to, in part, by a translation project with Katie Fall. However, there is a gap that we come across after the choir systems dissolve into the early 1900s, into the 1940s, where we really realized that those voices are being lost. And so we did begin a conversation with Maria and Lisa from Your Words, Your Story, and we're able to see that this is actually something that people are interested in doing now as well, looking forward.
Mm. And the workshops and offerings of the series itself, the Single Sister series, could you talk a little bit about the variety and is the through line that sense of supporting and celebrating women, or also, because it seemed like what the Single Sister's House and that culture and that choir actually offered was a kind of mentoring and support. These were women who didn't have to depend on someone else for a living or a roof over their head, but who were creating a self-sustaining community.
Yeah, I think that the Single Sister series really captures this moment of community, inquiry, support, absolutely, mentorship. Mm-hmm. Those are all things that come into play with our programming and what we select. We look to the early sisters and pull out key themes. We have women who were farmers, who were innovators, politicians, ministers, and we pull those themes and then pair them with women who are creating and making here in the Lehigh Valley. So, for example, we last year had a really successful, encouraging opening with zine makers and singer-songwriters. So we paired those for a wonderful evening of self-publication and music. And then just recently we had Kinder Creations in, and they featured how to make your own natural beauty products and what the actual implications are of kind of taking part in making those things yourself and knowing what you're using. Mm-hmm. So that can be a really empowering and immersive experience. We do find that our programs are usually very intimate, very one-on-one. The instructors come in and really get to know the people who come to the programs, and that can be a really rich experience as well.
Mm-hmm. And what's coming up in the program?
Yes. So, of course, we have Your Words, Your Story, Preserving Life Stories coming up on the 1st of July. But then on July 14th, we also have a product photography workshop with mm-hmm. Kristen Marie Wider. She's a wildflower marketing. We're really excited. She has a social media bend so that women can learn how to not only photograph their products, but really think about their branding process mm-hmm. and what influences how we brand ourselves as businesses. Mm-hmm. And then after that, we do also have an improv workshop coming up in August on the 23rd. That's a Thursday evening, runs 6 to 8. But we have a rich offering still for this year, and I encourage people to check our website, join our mailing list, and find out more about our upcoming programs.
And the workshops are affordable, and if you're a member, they're free, which is wonderful.
Absolutely.
As well. And what do you have any particular, I'm just curious, favorite stories or moments or memories, since we're talking about memoirs,
yeah.
with the series, things that surprised you or that felt particularly rewarding or unexpected?
I think that the most unexpected moment was when we did have the Songs for Sisters event, and that was a singer-songwriter series, and we were really early on in the program. We didn't know what to expect, and we wound up with such a big turnout, and it was a lively event, and you could tell that people were engaging in. That was always really exciting to me looking back on.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes it's just the moment of having a very young person come into the space and kind of filled with that awe. The Single Sisters House has a very unique sense to it. It's very unfinished on the first floor, and you can see the trace of the years and time. And then we move into a more polished, finished off space in the saw where we do the programming. Mm-hmm. So watching them explore can be really exciting and rewarding.
It's the Single Sisters House at this point. The last tenant, I believe, was there until 2007, the last
Correct.
Resident, I should say, mm-hmm. the last resident. And is Historic Bethlehem Museums and Sites, what can we expect the house to continue to look like, to home be a home to more programming, tours? Because I got just sure. a bit of a glimpse of it myself recently, and it is fascinating. It's,
yeah.
It really is.
So we are always interested in ways to bring the community into that space, have them interact with it.
Mm-hmm.
There is a very limited exhibition on the first floor with some pieces, but we really rely on signage and tours mm-hmm. in that regard to get people through the space and to hear the stories. The second floor, we are definitely going to be continuing with programming, bringing people in. And then, of course, at Christmas time, it's part of our Putz mm-hmm. tour.
Okay. And you mentioned a town hall. What's that
yes.
like? That's a way to wrap up the series each year?
Yeah, so we started this last year. We invited the community to come in for a town hall at the very end of the series. We typically tidy things up around October because it gets pretty chilly in there. And we invited people to come and speak on a specific topic. And it was a great experience. And we found it was a wonderful way to finish up the season for us. So we will be doing that again this year.
Oh, I hadn't realized it was folks speaking, kind of like a soapbox
yeah.
experience in some ways, maybe.
A big
maybe.
Conversation.
Yeah. Oh, that's
Absolutely.
Wonderful. And George, I didn't mean to assume that as the woman here of the pair that I should be doing all the questioning. I'm sorry, dear.
Oh, well, I had a question or two.
Sure, yeah.
And a comment or two.
Wonderful.
And I wish it was open for men as well.
It is, oh, absolutely, yes, it is. Absolutely. And we have had some really wonderful men and a father and son duo came out to one of our last programs, and it's always wonderful. Absolutely, everyone's welcome.
I'm sure you shouldn't feel intimidated. Really, it's very
no.
it's a very kind of personal thing, and
yes.
It stays that way unless you want to share.
Mm-hmm.
We want you to join this program on Sunday, July the 1st, from 1:30 to 3 p.m. at the historic Single Sisters House for an engaging session about preserving your life story. Or that of a loved one, presented in collaboration with Your Words and Your Story. So we hope that you will be there. Incidentally, if you want more information, you can look up on your computer, historicbethlehem.org, and find out more about these Preserving Life Stories, which I'm sure you really wish to do. It's been a pleasure talking with all of you. Thank you very much for sharing this adventure with all of us. Thank you, Lindsay. Thank you, Maria.
Thank you.
And thank you, Lisa, for a provocative discussion.